Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
If you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, we're going to read. And the title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, is St. Paul's Secret Sauce, Seven Habits That Delivered a Destiny. And Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Amazing words at the end of a man's life who has given everything to God. And we're going to open it up and learn some of the things that made Paul so successful in fulfilling the call of God on his life. And I'd love it if you could just join me as we pray. Ask God to really breathe on the word and let it just come alive in each of our hearts in the way that God needs it to. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for another opportunity to come around your word, to gather around your word. Lord, we thank you that every time we look at Scripture, every time we seek you, God, through the Word, that we are encouraged in our faith, God, that our eyes are open to more of who you are. And I pray that tonight, God, each and every person would walk out of this place having had a moment or having a revelation or had something deposited in their life that is going to enrich them and enlarge their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Now, just to get started, there is a difference between somebody who has authority in a certain area and someone who doesn't. So, for example, if like Luke Collis down here was to walk up to me and he'd pull his wallet out and he's like, "You're under arrest," I'd be like, that's your fishing license and I'm not under arrest, right? Because he's not a policeman. Now, if Tiff O'Neill was to whip out her police badge and was all like, "Tim, you're under arrest," I'd be like, "I'm calling a lawyer because this is legit." You see, authority exists when someone's credentials give weight to their words. So it doesn't matter what someone says, if their credentials and who they are doesn't back that up. Now, we can actually draw from Paul so many life lessons about fulfilling our call that God has given each of us and to fulfill the thing that God's put on our life because he did it. Like he ran the race. You know what I mean? He finished the race. And this is what he fought the good fight. He kept the faith. And it's amazing to be able to say that at the end of your life. And you know what? It's good when someone else encourages you and says, "You're awesome. You've done a great job." But who knows how hard it is within yourself to be like, "Yes, I have done what I know was within me. I have done what I knew was upon me." And you know what? For Paul to be able to say at the end of his life, "I have done it," means that he has gone through life, through all those challenges, and has not given up. And it's an amazing thing for us to observe in this man's life. So just to put into perspective Paul and to help us understand the authority he has when talking about this stuff, if you don't know who he is, we're reading tonight scriptures from his writings. And his life speaks and his life echoes because here we are thousands of years later still being impacted by this man's life. Quick biography of Paul, he was a Pharisee who was opposed to the church. So when Jesus came, Jesus was doing what he did. He died and he went to the cross and he rose again and he went back to heaven and he was against the people of God. So we have got Paul here, he was named Saul at the time, breathing out murderous threats upon the people of God. And he said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to put him in jail. He watched someone get killed and he supported it. He was anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-church. He was against Jesus. And then he has this revelation. He has an encounter with Jesus. He has a conversion experience and he begins to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. And he became one of the most prolific builders of the kingdom of God in the early church. About half of the New Testament is written by some half of the books are written by the Apostle Paul. So much of what we understand about God, about Jesus, comes from his teaching. And his background as a Pharisee, which is like a Jewish religious sort of scholar, an authority of the day, was amazing because it gave weight to his words when he started to talk about why Jesus was a big deal. He planted over a dozen churches. He shaped what we know is what we know of Christian mission. He was the one who sort of wrote the handbook of Christian mission. He endured more oppression and persecution than almost any other Christian, and he finished strong, which is a super important part to us giving authority and weight to his words. He finished strong. He was actually martyred under the rule of Nero, the emperor of Rome. He was beheaded after having done what God called him to do. So he, from the moment he met Christ to the moment he died, gave everything. And we could say that Paul had a God mission. There was something that he was meant to do with his life, and it is clear through the ramifications of his life that he fulfilled it. We are here today, thousands of years later, still talking about it. Can you see the impact that this man had? So what I want to do tonight is draw out of Paul's life seven habits that helped deliver Paul's destiny. Seven habits that helped deliver Paul's destiny. I believe every single one of these habits are habits that you and I can make sure in our life, because if we have them in our life, then we will see things like Paul saw in his life. The first habit that Paul had was a habit of personal devotion. A habit of personal devotion. Paul was massive. He was a big deal. Everywhere he went, he was establishing the church. He was, you know, setting leadership direction. He was a big man in the things of God. Yet, he never got away from his personal relationship with Jesus. It was always the bedrock of everything he did. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we see Paul and one of his colleagues, a guy called Silas. They have been arrested and thrown into prison. Yet even in prison, we see Paul just going back to his habit of private devotion. And it says this in Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you know, the thing I love about Paul is that in every season, in every situation, whether things were looking good or things were looking bad, he returned to his private devotion. It was a part of his life. It was something that strengthened him. It was something that he had daily. It honestly was daily, and we see that because in a lot of his epistles, the letters that he writes to churches and to leaders, so many of them begin with, I pray for you continually. I pray for you daily. I always thank God for you, he says in 1 Corinthians. I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you, remembering you in my prayers, he says in Ephesians. I thank my God every time I remember you, he says to the Philippians. And the list goes on. Every day I pray for you. Every time I think of you, I thank God. It is a regular part of Paul's life to be praying, to be singing, to be worshiping God, and to have that private devotion as a part of his life. He never moved past his own personal relationship with Jesus. Paul's devotional life was the good soil of his calling. Everything that came out of his life was first planted in that bed of private devotion. And I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians 14. He's talking about this gift, a spiritual language that he can pray in. And he's talking to people and saying, you know, you need to do this a lot. You need to pray a lot. You need to pray in private. And this is a prayer he's talking about that he exercises in private. And he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So what he's actually doing is he's boasting in his strong devotion. He's saying, man, I know that some of you guys pray, but I love it. I'm praying every day. I'm praying more than anyone else. And so this guy who went on to fulfill so much had a strong devotional life. Does that make sense? And as you cultivate your devotional life, God will take care of all the rest. The fruit of your life will speak for itself. So the first thing that Paul had a habit of is a habit of personal devotion. The second habit that Paul had is the habit of community. You know, this was such a massive value for Paul. Look in these couple of chapters in Acts chapter 20 and 21. There's so many examples. I'm just going to pump through some of them here. It says this in Acts 20 verse 36. It says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. So he was with a group of believers and he had been teaching them and encouraging them. He knelt down with them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. They grieved. What they grieved most of all was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So he's going from like one place to another. He's in a community and he is connected heart and soul. Like these people are grieving at the fact that he is moving on. These people have connected at a heart level. They are the people that he has embedded himself in for a season. It says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. Can you see the language? Like, torn myself away. They grieved. You don't get that unless there is deep, real relationship. You don't get that from an acquaintance. You don't get that from a contractor. You get that from a person who is like family. So Paul in this community was like family. Acts 21 verse 3, it says, we landed at Tyre where our ship was unloaded, was to unload its cargo, and we sought out the disciples there and stayed with them for 7 days. What is the first thing Paul does when he lands in a new port? He seeks out the disciples. Where are the believers? Can you take me to the people that know Jesus? Where are my people? Where are the people that I can go with and pray with and worship with and be encouraged by and encouraged back? He was searching out for these people. Stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go into Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. Can you get the picture of how important community is to St. Paul, to the Apostle Paul? He's like this, and they come together and they pray. Verse 7, we continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at, don't know how to pronounce that word, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Even he was in a city for one day. I tell you what I'm doing. I land in a city. I'm going sightseeing. I want to check this place out. Paul, he's looking for the believers. He's seeking out those who know Jesus. Verse 17, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and the sisters received us warmly. Can you just see, literally, from place to place to place, Paul refused, even though he was somebody that was called by God to travel and minister and be a missionary, he refused to be somebody who was without community. Do you know how important community is to our walk with Jesus? Do you know, Paul talks about, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the body of Christ. He says every single person has a part to play. Some people have certain gifts. Some people have other gifts. If we all had the same gifts, if we all looked the same, if we all had the same function, then the body wouldn't be able to be what it was meant to be. Instead, some of you are an eye. Some of you are an ear. Some of you are a leg. Some of you are less modest things, right? He's like, no matter what you are, no matter where you fit in the body of Christ, you are part of a community. And I hope that encourages some of you, because you might think, well, I don't know if I fit in here. I don't know if I get the vibe or the style. I don't know if this is like, you know, I don't know how I'm meant to act or what I'm meant to do. You just be yourself and you just love God and you are more than welcome. You just come and be a part of the family of God. Community was not optional for Paul. It was essential. Do you have that same value for community in your life? Is the people of God and the church and being a part of what we're doing here at Horizon and being in a life group, is that a priority for you? Because it was a habit for Paul to seek out community. And I know some people are wondering how they can get breakthrough, how they can move forward. Well, let me tell you, so much of our breakthrough comes from the community that we are a part of. See, I'm a father now. I have a little girl. Her name's Lacey. Her full name's Calacia. We call her Lacey. And she's about 19 months old. And do you know how much more I have come to appreciate our church since having a child? Matt knows. It's like, thank God that we have an amazing church, because she's up in kids, even at 18 months old, learning how to, you know, enjoy worship. And she's been encouraged by people that aren't just her parents in the things of God. And I know I was a youth pastor for many years. I'm excited that as my kids grow up and become teenagers, we got a great youth ministry where they can discover the things of God, discover who God's called them to be given opportunity to express themselves and to work out the gifts that God's put in their life. Thank God that I don't have to raise my family by myself. Thank God that he provides a community where he can look after, you know, each one of us and raise us into who we're called to be. So the first habit Paul had was a habit of personal devotion. But the second habit he had was a habit of seeking out and finding community. I want to encourage you, private devotion is powerful. A community is extremely powerful. And the third habit that Paul had was a habit of taking faith steps. It's one of the things I love about Paul. is he would actually do things that required faith. He didn't just live in the easy zone. He didn't just live in the comfortable zone. And, you know, sometimes we think of Paul and we think, well, you know, Paul, it was easy for Paul. You know, he was amazing. He had met Jesus. He was like, there was an anointing on him, so everything was easy. But, you know, it's not always so different to you and I today. You know what I'm saying? He didn't always get a lightning bolt from heaven telling him what to do. In fact, I love this scripture in Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 10. And it says this: during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding. That's a really interesting word to have in there. It means that it wasn't like a given. It wasn't 100%. They were like, well, based on what we know of God, based on what we know of our calling to share the gospel, based on what we've experienced when we've gone to other cities, and based on this vision, which wasn't really clear, it wasn't super specific, but it was a Macedonian person crying out for help. Based on all of that, we're concluding that God has called us to do this. It required faith. It wasn't just simple. It wasn't just like, wow, that God tells me to go here, then God tells him to go there. And we can so often, even in church today, I can look at amazing leaders and I just think somehow they've got a direct line that is more crystal clear than me to God. And it's like they just know exactly what to do and where to go. And you think for other people, it's easier for them to hear God's voice. No, no, no. Hearing God's voice and being obedient always requires faith. There's always an element of like, I think this is God. Based on, you know, what I've learned about God, based on the heart of God, based on what I feel, the gifts and the talents he's put on my life, based on what my community around is encouraging me and sharing with me, and based on what the people that know God even more than I do have said, I think this is maybe my next step. And you take a step of faith, and that was Paul's habit. That was the way he lived. He was just like, I'm going to keep walking in the things that I know of God. I love this verse as well in Acts chapter 21, verse 10 to 14. It says, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus, there's a name for your next son, came down from Judea, coming over to us. We'd call him, like, nickname's Bus. How good is that? That's sick. Milani. Write it down. Can't forget it. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. So he walks up to Paul, takes his belt. Paul's like, excuse me, what are you doing? And then he binds his own like arms and legs. And then he's like, the owner of this belt, when they go to Jerusalem, they're going to be bound up and handed over to the Galatians. And I'm just like, wow, that's like terrifying. First thing you do is be like, well, I'm not going to Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? But verse 12 says this, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. So everyone's like, oh man, you can't go, Paul. But Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done, right? Everyone's like, man, this guy is strong in his convictions. He knows what he wants to do. He made a decision that he was going to be a man who lived by faith and not by fear. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul, every time he came up against a hurdle, was like, oh, no, God mustn't want to use me here, so I'm just going to go, oh, there's another wall there. Who thinks Paul's life would have got very small very quick? And instead of having the impact that he was called to have, he wouldn't have had it. But we see Paul who chose faith over fear. He had a habit of walking in faith. Number four, Paul had a habit of working hard. Paul had an incredible work ethic. Do you know, sometimes you think, well, if God's in it, it's going to be easy, right? Do you know I've learned that not to be true? I've learned that when God's in it, there's joy in the work. I've learned that when God's in it, there's favor in the work. I've learned that when God's in it, you know, there is a stamina for the work. But you know what? Every time I've seen God call me and my family and our family to something, it has always required work. If you shy away from work, if you're waiting for God to do a miracle or do something in your life, you know, or to use you in a way that's going to impact so many, yet you're not willing to work hard, well, I'm telling you, you will miss out on so much that God has planned for you. Life comes and life goes. And we will see God do great things if we choose to walk in faith and commit ourselves to it. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, so this is Paul writing a letter to a church, and he says this in verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." You know, yes, you are graced for your calling. Yes, God is your provider. Yes, God will provide everything that you need. Yes, you cannot earn your salvation, but there is actually something upon your life that God wants you to do that will require you to work with God. It's not working for God. It's not working to please God. It's actually working with God. And I want to encourage you, there are so many things ahead of you, and if you think they're going to happen just while you wait, you're actually mistaken. But if you would, by faith, rise up and say, "All right, God, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to work so hard." Why do some ideas turn into great businesses while others don't? Hard work. Someone searching out, finding a way. I loved Pastor Matt's message at conference. He said God gave Joseph a dream, but then Joseph came up with a plan, and the dream was a download from heaven. It didn't require any creativity, but a plan to see that dream come to pass is where you start to rely on the creativity of God. You start to rely on the direction of God. You start to try things and see things and step out and do this and do that. That outworking of the call of God actually requires hard work. Do you know, I think it's so interesting. One of the things I love, I remember talking to a bunch of our interns recently. I said, what's the thing you've most noticed about being, you know, behind the scenes and being a part of church at an intern level? And one of the comments that came back a couple of times was, "I'm just so surprised at how much work goes in to what happens here." And, you know, it's my workplace, it's my frame of reference, that's why I use it as an example. But I could say that about any business, any family that is doing well, any relationship that's doing well. If you look behind the scenes, you'd be like, "I am surprised at how much work actually goes in to see this thing happen, to see all the bits and pieces come to pass." Paul had a habit of working hard. Number five. Ugh, there you go. Number five. Paul had a habit of using his testimony. Paul had a habit of using his testimony. Now, one of the biggest struggles writing this message was, like, he writes so much of the New Testament that I just wanted to share, like, every scripture, every letter. I'm like, I could use this example. And I had to, like, full be disciplined to be like, "No, come on, Tim, let's just focus here. Otherwise, we'll be here for 8 hours and the grand final will be long gone by the time we finish." But one scripture I think sort of does explain this is in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20. It says, "To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. So I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all possible means, I might save some." And this is one of the most amazing things about the Apostle Paul. Depending on his environment was depending on what part of his testimony God would use to reach that group of people. And in Acts 22, he gives this whole defense for, you know, where he's at and what's going on and why Jesus is the Messiah. And he leans heavily on his roots as a Pharisee. He relies heavily on who he was as a Jewish scholar, somebody who knew the scriptures, and he draws from scripture after scripture, and he wrestles and he argues. He would go into synagogues and he would argue from scriptures to explain why Jesus is the expected Messiah. He would use that forum and he would lean so heavily heavily into that part of his testimony. But then he's like, I'm actually a Roman. He was about to be flogged. And he's like, no, I want to go and speak before Caesar. I want to actually go and I want to use this part of who I am, part of my identity, my story, to be positioned in this place. And so he went, and in Acts 26, he shares his testimony in Rome and he emphasizes whole different things. He talks and he connects with a church who's struggling, and he says, I know what it is to be weak. I know what it is, you know, to struggle. And he's connecting with them there. He talks to another church and he says, you know what? You think that these apostles are super apostles, well, let me tell you about some of the things that God's used me for. And he starts talking in strength about the things God's done with him. Can you see how Paul is not afraid to use his testimony? He has a habit of drawing on his testimony to connect with people. And for us, the lesson is this: each of us have a story, each of us have a journey with God, none of them are the same, and that's beautiful. Stop wishing you were somebody else, or you got brought up in a different family, or maybe you got raised here, or some people, you know, wish they were raised in a Christian family. I missed so much. You didn't. God's got you, and he's going to use you in a powerful way. Some Christians have raised up, and they're like, well, I've never really had a season away from God. You know, I don't really have a good testimony. Are you joking? Your testimony is the ideal testimony. Your testimony is the testimony I dream of for my kids. You know what I'm saying? So don't wish you had a crazy testimony. You do. The goodness of God has sustained you through life. Whatever your testimony is, use it to your advantage. How do you connect with somebody? You know, it's an amazing thing when a person can relate to another person at a meaningful level. If you want to share your faith, don't just go around, get a soapbox, stand up and yell at a crowd. No, meet somebody, find out who they are, listen, get an understanding of where they're at, and start to share at the point that they're at who you are, where you've been, what God's done for you. It brings to mind that thought of the Ethiopian who goes up next to the chariot, and there's this man reading Isaiah, and he yells out and he says, oh, do you know what you're reading? And the guy's like, well, how am I supposed to know unless someone explains it to me? And the Bible says that Philip, beginning with those very scriptures, explained to him about Jesus. And I love it because he met him where he was at. Paul's a master at using his testimony to meet people where they're at and actually see them connect with God. So he had a habit of using his testimony. That is number 5. Number 6, he had a habit of encouraging others. Now, we don't have time to read the entire chapter 16 of the book of Romans, but I encourage you in your spare time to have a read of it. You will see just how much Paul recognizes others are significant in the things that God has used him for. He's never this one-man show who thinks that he's got it all going on, who thinks he's the best. His life was devoted to others. He gave himself to raise up leaders. He gave himself to plant churches, and he wouldn't stay. He would raise up leaders and he would move on. He gave himself to see people saved, but not only saved, discipled. He was a man who understood the power of discipleship. He encouraged others, drew out gold in others. He lifted others up. He saw the gold in others that they didn't even see in themselves. Let's have a look here in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. It says this: I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Senrae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in her house. Greet my dear friend Epentus. These are great, again, baby names. Unbelievable, so good. Who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Imagine that, if you were the first convert to Christ in the whole province of Asia. Think about the Chinese underground church right now and how massive it is. This guy, there you go. How good is that? Epentus. Oh, there you go. Appendicitis. That's his new name every time I read this. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus. And are you getting the idea? He goes on, greet Amphius, greet Urbanus, greet Apelles, whose fidelity of Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household. You know, greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. He's literally going through name by name by name, not obscurely, but individually explaining what it is about them that's so amazing, what they did for the things of God, what is on their life, and he's drawing out the gold. He had a habit of encouraging others. Do you have that habit in your life? Do you have a habit of seeing gold in other people, of drawing it out and championing it, celebrating it when you see it? Because Paul did, and I know if we can have that, it will be amazing. And finally, Number seven. How about that? Seven habits to deliver a destiny. Thank you, Jez. Jez is going to help me just wrap up the rest of the service. The seventh habit that Paul had is a habit of not giving up. He just wouldn't give up, right? You just can't keep a good man down. He's like one of those blow-up things that's got water in the bottom, you know, the boxing bags, and you're like, bang. It's like, whoa. It's like, and you walk around, you like, whack it from another angle. It's like, boom, whoa. It's just like, just doesn't matter what happens, boom, he's back up, right? I should have bought one of them. That'd be awesome. But that's honestly what he's like. How's this, right? Here's a list of some of the things that Paul went through while walking in the will of God. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. No one wants to be exposed to death once, let alone again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. He got whipped five times, like publicly flogged. Not only is that painful, but it's embarrassing. Oh, this is Paul, the great man of God, doing the things of God, being literally flogged in front of communities that he went to go and serve. Three times I was beaten with rods. Wow, that's not good. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. Okay, let's just pause here for a second. Has anyone ever been shipwrecked? Yeah, Paul three times was shipwrecked. On mission. You know why? Because that was the transport of the day. And he was on a mission for God and he had to get to this city, he had to get that. And on the way, while in the will of God, he would get shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea, floating around the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city and in danger in the country, in danger at sea and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. So there's external pressures, but there is an internal weight to what he is carrying as well. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? He's like, I'm a man as well. I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. I know what it is to wrestle with my own flesh. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artius had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. How embarrassing. To be secretly, how undignifying to be put in a basket, lowered out a window out of a city while doing, you know, if I'd endured any of these things, I don't know about you, any one of these things, I would have been tempted to give up. Do you know, I feel like God's forsaken me when I can't find a car spot. I'm like, God, why? Do you not love me? What have I done wrong, Lord? I went fishing yesterday. I'm like, God, I pray for kingfish. I didn't get any kingfish. I'm like, God, but I prayed. Do you know, so often we give up over these menial things and we think that Paul did all the amazing things he did because it was easy for him. Well, let me tell you, Paul's life wasn't easy. Not only was it not easy, it was harder than your life. He faced more. He had more challenges, yet he did not give up. That was his habit. Instead of seeing, oh man, if you took a snapshot of any one of those moments in Paul's life, it would be easy to think, oh God, he's left me. God's given up on me. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that, like you've been given everything for God and it's just like, why am I not getting breakthrough? Why have I hit this wall? Why am I not seeing the blessing? Well, Paul, he walked through it, yet he did not give up. I want to encourage you. You need to have a habit in your life of not giving up. No matter how hard life gets, no matter how knocked back you get, no matter how much life beats you up, no matter what happens to you, you just say, oh, no, God, I choose to rise again in faith and to continue to serve and follow you. And it was only because he had these habits that he got to that point where he was able to say, you know what? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, I have done what God has called me to do, and there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness. And you know, tonight, I just want to encourage all of us. You know, we're not going to take much longer. We're going to wrap it up in just a minute. But I want to pray for us all and just ask us to be inspired again by the Word. You know, one of the best things about preaching this message for me was just the joy I had in like just researching Paul. Do you know, just like, it just brought so much like, it's like a breath of fresh air. And it just makes you realize, man, God's with me. Just because things aren't always easy doesn't mean he's left me. If Paul can do it, so can I. The same spirit that's in Paul is in me. There's nothing better about him or special about him that I can't see God do in my life. You know, God's got a calling on your life. God's got a purpose on your life. There is something that he has to do through you. And yes, it will require hard work. And yes, there will be setbacks and things that try and knock you down. And yes, there will be times when you're in a prison and you feel like, you know, crying, but instead you feel God urging you to pray and to sing. And yes, there will be times when through all of this, you are just like, oh, I can't even be bothered leaning into community because there's so much energy and work involved in loving other people. Oh. But guess what? When you start to do it anyway, you know what? I'm going to give. I'm going to go to life group, even though I want to go home to bed. I'm going to just pray, even though I know that I just would prefer to cry. You know, I'm just going to get back up, even though I'd prefer to stay down. If you start to have some of these habits that Paul had in his life, it'll create in you a soil, good soil, from which the things of God will come. And like Paul, your life will echo and you will leave an impact on the people around you, on the people that God's called you to influence, and you will be used by God, and you can say, because Paul said, hey, this crown isn't only waiting for me, but for everyone who has desired to see the appearing of Christ. Are you one of those people? I want to be one of those people. Come on, let's just pray. Why don't you just close your eyes? God, I just thank you so much that you have a plan and a purpose for every single one of us that are here in this room. I just thank you, God, that sometimes walking with you is extremely practical. We just got to keep one foot in front of the other, trusting you, walking in faith, just building up our devotional life and just stepping out and doing, you know, what we feel you, the Holy Spirit, is leading us to do, of investing ourselves into community, of not giving up even when it's hard, of encouraging others and drawing the best out of others. Lord, I just thank you so much. You've called each one of us to great things. And as we build these habits into our life, God, it will be a soil from which the things of God can grow. Thank you, Jesus. Why every eye is closed? I just want to pray for anyone in the room. And you have never in your heart opened up your heart and said, Jesus, like, I actually want to be part of this community. I want to be part of the family of God. Do you know, your sin doesn't discount you from the family of God because Jesus gave his life in your place so that you can have his righteousness, be right with God, and be a part of his family forever. Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord has the right to be called sons and daughters of God. If you have never called on Jesus to be your Savior, to be your Lord, or maybe you did a long time ago, but if you're honest with yourself, you're not living that out right now, and tonight you need to be like, I need to remind myself that I am a child of God. I'd love to pray for you. So if that's you and you're coming back after a long time, you want to be in a real close place with God, or you have never made this decision before, just so I know who I'm praying for, could I just ask you right now, wherever you are, just to raise your hand. Say, that's me. That's me. Great decision down here, bro. Proud of you, man. Who else in this room is like, I need to get my life back on track with God? If that's you, you can chuck your hand up. If you've never made this decision, man, what a great night to do it. Anyone else, just before we pray? Amazing. Hey, let's all pray this prayer from our heart to God. And we're just going to believe that as we do that, we are just brought into his family in a way that's so, so real. So let's all pray. Dear Jesus, I know that you love me and that you gave your life up for me. Tonight, I give my life back to you. I thank you that you forgave my sins when you died on a cross and you gave me everlasting life as you rose again. So from this day forward, walk with me, talk to me, and live in me, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we just give it up for that person who made that decision?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.